welcome to Universal Energy Radio's Some of You show. I'm Anna.
Hi, and I'm Liz. Hi, darling.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Yes. So it's a time, yeah, so are you in Alabama?
Yes.
So central time in Alabama, and then we just got on daylight savings time here, so that's what happened. But we're here. Yay!
Yay!
As Elisa's, you know, exploring the rings of Saturn. So good for her. How wonderful. So they were in Singapore, and now they're on the boat, I guess. I don't know where they go first, but they're someplace on the water heading southeast.
Yeah, I don't know. She was supposed to send me, like, all kinds of information and scheduling and all that stuff, but I have no idea where that kid is right now.
It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Elisa?
Yeah, where's Elisa? Yeah, I love her profile picture. Did you see it?
No.
She's like peeking. She's like peeking. You know, just from her glasses up the top of her head.
How cute! I'm not on Facebook, so unless it's on something else.
Oh, you're not
else,
on Facebook.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
she
been off
Instagram
of it for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Good for you.
Yeah, I've been off of it for 2 years. It reminds me of when I quit smoking many, many, many years ago. It's funny that I use that analogy because you get so much time back. And when Facebook was just getting so damned upsetting to me, also the deal breaker was that for my business, I used to have a group that I had thousands and thousands of people on it around the world because it was tied to casting. Well, it was so disturbing to police that site. And some of the things that people would post were unspeakable, perverse, disturbing, upsetting. It just, and I'm just too sensitive. So I shut down the group first, and then about a year later, now over 2 years ago, I just said, "What am I? Who has time?" So, yeah. I mean, I understand for business or to get the word out there. I'm sure it's hurt me not to be on it in some respects. The same token, we grew up not having cell phones and smartphones and internet. You know, we were adults when all that came. So six of one, half dozen of another. We manage. Like, my mother doesn't dare touch a cell phone. Well, good for her. So, anyway. So you're back in Alabama.
Yes, I am. I'm here and still moving stuff around, doing some work. And sort of wrapped up the consulting gig north of here, and that was good. And I've got to go do some stuff in Atlanta. I'm leaving tomorrow to go do a marketing event. I'm going to be participating, facilitating, but participating. Yeah, it's Diane Conklin, and she's an Atlanta-based, just a coach, a business coach, and she's one of my mentors. So she has a 2-day event coming up, so I'm going to that, and then heading to the beach for a week for
Thanksgiving.
Nice. Yeah. So I'll be working. I've got my computer, so I'll be doing what I do. So we'll be on the air. I'm
going
to schedule today. I'm going to go ahead and schedule us. So and schedule us on Eastern time and not Central time. So because I do live in Eastern time most of the time.
Yeah, you do. And it's, I do. And it's a lot because things are so delicate and we have to show up for this life, for our children, for our family, for our clients, for life, for whatever. And, you know, I almost like when I was making coffee, I almost put egg whites instead of half and half in my coffee because there's a little the container, they look the same, but there is such an override in coping, and unless you're really living it, it's a hard thing to explain. So I call it the veil or the rabbit hole or whatever. That portal of despair is milliseconds away, that it takes all of our energy to be to stay on course and to do our due diligence and to be there for our kids and for ourselves and to be responsible adults, and then the slightest thing could tip it over. And because the slightest thing could tip your harmonious state or your state of balance or your state of positive neutral functionality, then things like time difference, thinking a carton of egg whites is the half and half. One time I put the iron in the refrigerator thinking I was putting almond milk back in the fridge. So just you know what I'm talking about, where it's like your brain is constantly compensating, and the slightest thing can just upset that balance. It literally is a house of cards that we are shielding from the winds of chaos. And the reason why I'm speaking on this, I have an example. Fresh. I have a very fresh example of that. And it's so much just to deal with the day-to-day, making sure my kids are safe, scrambling to stay afloat financially. Sometimes it's more challenging than others. Right now it's a particularly challenging time. But within 24 hours, I was hired for something than unhired, okay, and it had nothing to do with me but more to do with, I think, not the wisest budgeting choices. So money that I thought was coming in all of a sudden wasn't coming in. And then a day after that, when the kid's father had called, there was some issue concerning insurance, so we had to have a conversation. And I was really remembering and tapping into the energy of the last show that we did about communication and positivity. And so I said, well, since I have you on the phone and since we are connected through these children, let's just make it that Thanksgiving you'll have the kids, because I really don't celebrate Thanksgiving anymore. I celebrate my mother's birthday, which is the end of September, and I make a Thanksgiving dinner. So this way, in the spirit, I'm saying to myself, in the spirit of cooperation, in this way, you could have the kids. Well, I'll get back to you. Well, it wasn't about coming up with the plan for the kids. In my mind, it's not about coming up with the plan for the kids. It's about you hold the time and you figure it out. You don't get back to me. This is, you want to spend time with your children? This is what I'm doing. So I'm thinking that. So I said, no. Just you see them on Thanksgiving, and then you'll see them Christmas Eve. We might as well have the conversation. And then all of a sudden, and it completely blindsided me, I'm getting it is heartbreaking, the conversation of, why can't we work it out? And I'm like, divorce is final. He's crying. He's lost. I said, I have nothing but compassion and appreciation for you. But again, the lack of willingness to let me go. The delusion. I hate to say it. That's the word that comes up. The delusion of, I don't know what happened. And I find that curious, because you have said that to your ex. So I get it. Maybe she thought it was delusional on your part too. I get it. But the thing is, you are much more present and proactive and in there noticing things more, I would venture, than my ex-husband. I would just take a educated guess on that one because I know you very well, and I know him very well.
Well, you know, when I say that, it's not about a specific thing. It's an overall conversation of, you know, you say you don't know what happened, but yet it's about digging deeper. And I think this is where
exactly you mean it differently. I know you mean it. I know you mean it differently. I absolutely know you mean it. I absolutely know you mean it. I couldn't have a conversation with you that you would be so insightful. So I know you understand it. I totally know you understand it.
And
differently.
For him, it has to be. He has to, and I say have to. He doesn't have to. He's going to be miserable if he doesn't. He needs to take
next
step of it. Of acceptance,
yeah.
And I usually don't use words like resign yourself or, and what needs to happen is allow yourself to accept the illusion of this reality right now,
right.
And understand that this illusion of this reality right now is for his highest and greatest good. It's for
everybody's
highest and greatest good.
Absolutely,
And taking that apart for yourself and not looking at the lack of what I'm lacking now in my life.
Oh, my God.
Look at what the possibility is.
Exactly.
And so it's almost, it's just a turn. It's like, it's a thin line and it's a turn of perception.
Absolutely. It's such a thin line. It's such an absolute thin line. And when the willingness isn't there, and then when I'm pointing out tangible bullet points of, well, this happened and that happened and this happened, and then I asked you to go to counseling twice and you refused, and then you were willing to go, but at that point it was too late. It was way too late.
Right.
At that point I had made up my mind. I had asked for twice. So the response I got
right.
to that, well, I was ambivalent and I shouldn't be because I was ambivalent. Well, if you're ambivalent about my life. Yeah, it's too late, and the collateral damage where I have compassion. I said I have nothing but compassion, forgiveness, and gratitude for you. You're a good person. You're a good father. But all the things that one could say that I mean honestly, but to have somebody fall apart, try to negotiate with me, the damage. And I said, this is why I can't communicate with you. It takes days. It takes days for me to recover. It's like I got bulldozed.
Right.
Emotionally, maybe I'm too sensitive. I don't know. But, you know, I happen to, like, you know, do a radio show twice a week and read people, and I'm really good. So maybe that's the price I pay. I don't know. I have no idea. But the damage...
Is he getting any therapy at all?
No. I actually gave him a referral probably well over a year ago. Oh, all these things. No. He said when all this was going down that I should talk to somebody because basically he's right and I'm wrong. And it kind of backfired. And we have she's my friend. I got her in the divorce, but she was my friend, who is a top psychologist and marriage counselor by coincidence, but one of my dearest friends. And it kind of backfired. He's like, well, you should talk to her, because I think in his mind, he thought she was going to say, oh no, he's right, work it out, whatever. And she's like, get out. So,
yeah. And in my opinion too, someone neutral, someone who doesn't know either of you. I mean, I'll tell you this, because I used to not be an advocate for counseling or therapy, and I'll tell you that
it has
been
extremely
valuable in this,
situation,
because it allows you, and even when, and we've gone together, and we just recently went together, and again, it's about peeling back the onion. I'll tell you, I didn't feel good walking out. I don't like it when I walk out of a therapist's office and I feel terrible.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Yeah.
But the two of you, but the two of you, and I want to hear about this session, the two of you,
mm-hmm.
you, at minimum, in addition to breathing oxygen so that you're alive, okay, at minimum, right, you have to have your yeah. vital signs, right?
Yeah.
At minimum, yeah. your vital signs must be in accord. That's number one. Okay, we can agree on that. Number two, I give you and your ex credit because the two of you are willing, okay? His willingness mm-hmm. has only to do with getting his toy back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to really dig deep and to understand. And the perception, and basically I can say this very, very briefly, and then I want to hear about your session. So after, and I was there, I was listening to him, he's crying, he's this and that, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like, okay. And I knew I was going to have a lot of recovering. I'm an empath. This is somebody that I spent more than half my life with. I was so young. And now I'm not, you know, it's this, all of this. And I'm thinking, oh my God. And I have to explain things like I'm talking to a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't have time for that because I already have two kids. I'm good. And I said, what it is now, it's not like it was all bad. There was a lot of good, and I'm grateful to you. And you're a great thought, like all the things that one says. I said, but at this stage of the game, we are speaking two entirely different languages, and there's no translator.
Right.
That's it. So we cannot communicate because this is too damaging. And I don't know how I'm going to pay next month's rent. So I got a lot. I have a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Right. And if.
Well,
yeah.
It's one of those things where you kind of want to say to him, and not in a snarky way, but look at him and say, show me the type of person I
right.
would want to be with.
I don't want to be
because
with somebody who's crying
really,
that feels like
right,
I was the answer
really
and I pulled the plug
me.
And it's gone. No, that's not hot.
Show me who you can. My thing is this. Show me how you can be. Show
right.
me
and
who you
showing
are.
Me. And I can't be around
and it's not, well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like
right.
if you think that crying
and arguing,
doing the things that you're doing and arguing with me are going to be, are attractive, they're not.
No.
I want to see. And the reason I say that is because sometimes people use other people as a jumping off point for their sadness,
right.
for their happiness.
Exactly.
And the thing is like, why would I, and the question is, why would you? You're speaking two different languages. You're
right.
not getting along. Things are, they're not even, there's nothing. There's no communication. There's nothing. So be the person for yourself that
exactly.
you think I would want to be with. And see what this does, and I feel like this is kind of a conversation that's been had too, is this says, oh, then I must take care of me in order for me to be that person. And what happens is when you step into that power, I want to be that person that, you know, and for you, you're like, you know in your head, no, it's done, we're done. For him, it's not. But to say to him, show me who you are, like show me really the kind of person that you think I would be attracted to. He has to
that.
Go on his merry way and figure that out. And
that's,
so,
yeah, it's such a trap for me to say that because then the thing is, if I show any kindness, then he thinks, oh, okay, there's a way back in.
Well,
I have to be very careful.
Here's my favorite. Here's my favorite term. It's a process.
It's a process.
Yeah.
No, I understand that.
And I want to
completely
talk about.
Yeah.
And this has to do with therapy, but it also has to do with everybody in the world, because this is what I'm learning. We all have these cycles of reaction or interaction that we go into. And
right.
certain people obviously trigger those things and
right.
how we react or interact.
Right.
So in those moments of, especially having been married for so long, having those cycle, you have a cycle. You go, there's a general cycle of things that happen, and it used to be that when you went into this cycle, the other person gave in, or you gave in, or something, but something happened to suppress some information, no communication, all that good stuff. So now we're busting this stuff wide open. The
right.
cycle is what is happening when it doesn't feel good. It feels like it's going out of control. It's just chaos, okay? So we
right.
we say this is the cycle. We give it a, and this is what we're working on now. We give it a third identity, if you will, because it's
mm-hmm.
this thing that's this little monster that shows up, right? So it's recognizing that cycle to be able to say, you know what, it's not me because this isn't who I am. But because I'm triggered and I see the cycle, like his cycle might be getting upset and crying, trying to appeal to your emotions, you know, that kind of thing. Like
right.
So it's little things. So it's recognizing that. And I think that's what's happening is we're both recognizing, oh, it's the cycle.
Right.
So we need to recognize it, acknowledge it, and we just either need to stop it or we need to clarify. But most of it
right.
is clarification and communication because we're at that point now.
That's great.
Things
that's
are
really,
really
good.
Still very,
that's good.
Well, they're very sensitive. They are still very sensitive, though, and there are still walls being put
of
up.
Of course,
and
that's going to be they're going to be there forever. They're markers. They'll
right.
You'll
right.
just they're just calluses. And when I said
right.
to him, I'm actually quite happy to be by myself. Like I'm okay. Like this is what I need to do. This is the
right.
path.
You're safe.
And mm-hmm. and then I said but the thing is he's not. And when I said that, he's like, oh, so you're happy? I'm like, I didn't say I was happy. I said I'm happy being in a relationship with myself. But I think you need to find somebody. You need to let me go. And I didn't react. I took it. It wasn't a fight. I was compassionate. And then 3 days later, it was like recovering from getting hit by a truck because I'm so sensitive. I just can't let that. It rattled me to my core.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay now. And I'm a believer. For me, everybody learns in their own way. I believe that I'm not victimized by it. I'm not damaged by it. I'm affected by it. We're talking more than half my life. Okay, we're talking all that cellular memory. We're talking decades. We're talking a purification, as it were, a burning off into the light. It's alchemy. So right now we're being alchemists. That's why it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I'm using this to keep me down. No, no, no. I'm using this. I'm just one that carries a machete and clears her path. So I'm using this to burn it off, to burn up the darkness, to walk into my light. I really feel my best year. I really feel 2019 is going to be one of my best years of my life. I just feel it. And I don't talk like that ever. But I was very graceful. I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
I had to raise my voice. I was very calm. I'm like, there's no fighting me. We're divorced. Like, it's done.
Well, no. And that's the thing. It's like, and that's the thing that I say. It's like, I don't want to fight. I want to recognize.
What's the point? It's over.
Right. And I want, but it's over. It's over for you. It's still in his, it's still in his peripheral. And
right. It's not over for him. It's over for me. And that's the problem. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, and you have to shift into this place of, first of all, for you, it is, you know, before, you know, being around him, it is, you know, grounding yourself and white lighting yourself and doing all, you know, blow the roses,
yeah.
man, throw roses everywhere.
All day.
And it all day long, and it is that thing. And one thing that I know Susan said, and this is the therapist, is,
mm-hmm.
you know, each of you be this, you know, independent, you know, little ball of energy, right? Each of you are that. And it's like, yes. So one of the things that I know that I was, you know, that was thrown at me was, you know, you're not really an independent, or she didn't say you're not an independent ball of energy, but you like to be around people. You like people. It's like, yes, that's my natural makeup. I do like to be around people. You know, that's, I do have alone time, yes, and I enjoy conversation.
Right.
I enjoy going places. I enjoy experiencing
life with people.
Oh, this girl's
a good time. She's good time
at it. I love people. And there are times when I'm very introspective and I just want to be. And, you know, and so just let me have my space. And so, and I believe that I've always communicated that. I believe that where I am, where I have been in my life, and where, you know, so it's this working on this parallel kind of thing. I know it's like, it's not, you know, it's over for you to, the connection is you have children, and that's the biggest connection of all. So these,
that's
children,
it. Otherwise, there were no kids. I would have
for
been
me,
out of Dodge. Yeah.
The children want, oh yeah. The children want to make me be a, you know, a stand up person, a better person. How can I be this person?
Right.
And show my children that I can handle this, even though there were times when I couldn't handle it.
Sure.
And like you said before, I feel like that they call it the they call it widow syndrome, and I might have mentioned that to you before.
No, what is that? I don't know that.
It's you know, when if you're married for a long period of time and your spouse passes away, there's this emptiness, and then there's this this feeling of, I mean, it's the most sorrowful feeling that I've ever felt. I mean, even more so than when my mom passed away. It was just so,
right?
I spent months, to me, that's the energy of, you know, putting the iron in the refrigerator, or
right.
Parking your car in the neighbor's driveway instead of your own driveway.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, all the crazy stuff, like coming into your house and leaving the house wide open, and just forgetting your basic simple things. I mean,
just
basically,
your brain.
You can
your
get yourself up, you can brush your teeth, yeah, and then
right.
And you go through the motions of the things that you know that you can do, but everything else is sort of, it's not stable. And
right.
So I went through a couple of months with this, and like, again, thank God for that time with Elisa, with my sister, my friend Tina.
Right.
They were the ones who were, if you will, a grounding force for me. I mean, Elisa would come over and she'd sit with me until I passed out on the couch, and then she'd either, you know, my couch was literally big enough for two people to sleep on in an L shape, or she would leave. And so I remember those times, but this widow syndrome is, and I remember Steph saying, you know, I want you to create a schedule. I need to talk to you about all these things. And my brain could not wrap around these normal everyday things, these normal everyday, I should be able to do this. I should be able to have my kids for longer than 3 days and be, you know, I didn't trust myself, but I always had to have another, I felt like I needed to have another adult with me if I had my kids with me, just so that, you know, I wouldn't, they're old enough and I'm not going to leave them in a car or leave them somewhere.
Yeah,
but
you know what, though,
that was
you being mature, like, okay, I'm not here, so let me. Yeah, I think that's very wise.
So, and when I would go, you know, when I'm really weird, like when I go to the store with the kids, if they, one goes one direction, one goes the other, I want an adult with each kid. That's just me.
Of course.
I
don't blame you.
I watch them. You know, I figure Jaden's big enough now, he can kind of, you know, just put his dead weight down. Nobody could drag him out. But Lily is so tall and thin.
Yeah,
you got to throw her over your shoulder.
You
know, so
keep her
I think
under
about
that microscope.
Those things. You know, honestly, I have absolutely beautiful children, and I can
They're
see
beautiful.
Where somebody would want to snatch them. You know, I'm like,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, they're gorgeous.
And there have been a lot of issue with stuff happening with people in our area, and as far as human trafficking, I mean, that's like a big deal. And I get really kind of crazy.
I don't blame you when
they go out in public. And so, so a lot of things that now, I was being accused of was, you know, you don't want to spend time with the kids, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, of course, my mind was racing because I'm like, you know, she's, and probably the same, you know, I told you, I said, identify with Steve, you know, in my mind, you're having these affairs with all these people and you're living this life and I'm not, you know, it's that you make up these stories of what
right.
you think this other, well, you know, and mine
yeah.
was though, you know, mine was out there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mine
well,
was
that,
with,
yeah.
with my nemesis, you know, with my nemesis and all
yeah.
this other stuff going on.
Right.
And
yeah.
All
no,
of these,
not me.
All of these, this is made for movie kind of material. I'm thinking
oh, the
I'm
bad
a
lifetime
play.
Movie girl.
I'm gonna,
right.
I think this would be like the
on
ultimate
logo,
movie for right
on the
now.
Logo Network, right?
Yeah, seriously. So it's just kind of like you look back at all that stuff and you think about all the energy. I feel like, oh my gosh, look at all that energy that I exerted, and it was a lot of it was very selfish. Oh my goodness, a lot of it was so selfish. Like where Steve is now, he's being very selfish. If you think
yeah.
about it.
But the fact that you have the clarity to say that.
Selfish and not a good feeling kind of way. Yeah.
No.
It's
yeah.
all like, what about me? What about me? What about
that's
me?
That's it, the whole thing.
Is he feeling,
yeah.
He's feeling left out.
Right.
And so that's what, and I tell you, and I'm being transparent here because that was my energy. What about me? I'm feeling left out. You know,
of course,
I'm,
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, finally, 2 months down the road, I'm like, wait a second. You know, I'm a grown person. I can handle this. It's
right.
okay. What's the one thing that you know? I know kids will grow up. You know,
right.
as much as
that
I want to see
hope.
Them,
when
and
you
I want
had that ray of hope when you had that portal of
yeah.
light
yeah.
that you knew. Okay, when you got into that grace of acceptance, that's what was able for that enabled the tide to change. And that's I'm so glad you mentioned that because I think that's so important when I talk about the veil and the rabbit hole and all of that. The tipping point is to hold on to hopefulness. And sometimes it's challenging, but if there's a little spark of hopefulness, so every time my kids say, I love you, Mommy, and they still do, thank God, that's my anchor of hopefulness. Every time I get a glimmer of whatever's going on in my profession, and of course I'm in such a risky industry, or that there's potential for income to come in or what have you, or there's a smile on my face, that I anchor onto the hopefulness. That's so important. So when you got to that place where you said, okay, kids do get older, and I saw the recent pictures of your kids, and they're little tweens, especially Jaden.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I would be like, put them under lock and key for the next 10 years, both of them. And when my kids were younger, I had the same concern. And what's good is that no one's going to mess with Jeremiah because he'll kick their ass. And Cole is not a child anymore. He's turning 20 next month, which is insane. So those fears are really assuaded. So that but there's that hopefulness. That hopefulness where you are seeing them a little bit more. You know they're going to get older. And the thing is, all you have to do is be you because kids are so damn smart. They know.
Yeah.
Love is love. Love is the most impermeable force of all. Difference, can you tell me in your perspective the difference between selfishness and self-love, because I think those terms get confused or intertwined. What's the difference between selfishness and self-love, in your opinion?
Well, selfishness is first of all, maybe doing things that for yourself that could be a detriment to others, like looking at the big picture and also assuming or thinking that other people should be a certain way or do certain things to make
right.
you happy or to do things
right.
for you.
Self-love
is about taking care of yourself, self-care, knowing,
right.
making choices that are healthy for you, that are that, and being very aware of what isn't healthy for you and taking those steps into removing that from your space, even if it is a person that you do care about. And that's the thing. Being in this situation, I think every person did what they had to do to take care
right.
of themselves. thing for you. You know, you and I mean, we've had such great discussions because you helped me understand a lot of Stephanie's point of view, and I've helped you understand a lot of Steve's point of view. And I think that has helped in understanding, and now listening to you, it's like, I understand because I had Steve's energy there for a little while. I had Steve's energy there probably for about 6 months.
Did I just realized,
oh my
the
God,
name Steve
come back to me.
Listen, the name Steve and Stephanie are so similar. I just realized that now. Look how long it took me to look how long it took me to get to the party. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But the thing is it's you gave me a lot of insight, some pivotal insight, where you and I had some, like over the summer, we had some really intense conversations that really helped me so much to understand that. I mean, it was great that we were able to really help each other, where I could understand another parent's perspective and you could get some insight, not so much on the parents, but the mother's perspective, because I think you... Mm-hmm. That wasn't an issue for you, but more when someone has issues communicating what they need, or they compensate for their issues by being an overachiever and not the healthiest way. And I think she and I have that in common, or I had that. Mm-hmm. It's really not fair to the person, meaning it's not fair to you, it wasn't fair to him. So it's very interesting to sort of get that panoramic perspective. And it was incredibly helpful that the timing was literally identical, which is crazy. Yeah. And to hear your perspective was very helpful because it gave me some insight into what he was dealing with. Not completely, because now you guys, you and Steve are in totally different places.
I've shifted my perspective because now I understand what she and I, it took some therapy to figure this out because I didn't know a lot of
that's why therapy is good. Hello,
that came up in therapy, and I thought, wow, I didn't know for 16 years you were pretty much questioning who you are and your beingness in the world. And then there was this whole scenario of her trying to find herself. And I got that because she was a swim instructor and a swim coach. When we first met, she moved into my space. She was a swim instructor. She was a Montessori school teacher. She went to school to be a nurse. I mean, she started doing that. I mean, her major when I first met her was in deaf education. So, it was very, so she's a teacher, and who she is, and this is what I can say about Steph, is that who she is at her core is a teacher, is an energy worker, is all of these things. And now she's a childbirth educator. She just got certified to be a hypnotherapist. There's some things about her. Yeah, the very in-depth things about her. There's so many layers, and I think she didn't, when we expand and we learn about ourselves, we create. And so when she met me, I was already in my mid-30s, established business owner, had a house, I had stuff. I was, so she came into my space like this. I knew who I've known who I am. I mean,
See, that's another parallel. A little bit of age difference.
So we talked, and this is something that I brought up to the therapist. I said, I understand all the stuff that just happened. I'm not that it's a puzzle, but, and I understand why she did it. I think the execution of it could have been a lot softer and a lot less not nice.
Right.
And maybe that's what it took for me to break away. Maybe that's what it took for me.
It had to be that extreme, right?
It had to be that
extreme. For you not to give it a fighting chance over and over and over.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did. I was still trying to.
Oh, I know that.
Almost 6 months. And so, because I was also raised with the paradigm of family. Family
you don't break
is
up
the
a
most
family.
Important thing.
Right.
You don't break up your family. And so this is a paradigm that I was I was trying to, you know, it was tearing me apart trying to stay in this thing that I knew to be true to my core. And so then finally all of these truths are being shredded. And I it was so personal for me because, you know, here I am now in my 50s and going, wow, you know, I was probably acting like Steve, you know, crying and stomping my feet. It's like, I've got to start over. I mean, you know, and then of course,
right,
here comes the, I want you to sell the house because I want, you know, I want. And to me, I'm like, so you're basically making, I mean, I talked to her attorney and my attorney, I said, so you know, you're telling me that she needs money. And we've talked about this. And basically, because she needs a home for her and the children, I said, you know what? I bought her a home. Bought her a home for her and the children, and I put her name on it so that it would protect her if something happened to me. So now she's, now you're coming after me saying,
using that against you,
force me to sell my home. So you're going to make me homeless so she can have a home. I said, that makes perfect sense to me, and being sarcastic, you know.
So, well, I made him homeless. So that, you know what I mean? Like, it's so, oof. It's so,
yeah, well, and but it's not that, and I had to shift, and really this is a lot of shift.
That's
a heck of,
girl,
a lot of,
we could open up a moving company. Shift,
right? I looked at this and I said, you know what, Anna, first and foremost, you will never be homeless because
exactly.
You have so many people.
You do, and that's the difference. Steve doesn't have that.
Love you,
right?
And regardless of whether I'm right or wrong, and it's not even about right or wrong. It's
no,
just
no, no. It's about
being.
Your resources.
It's being able to have a beautiful home to go to because I loved my home, and
I know, wonderful.
That's a reflection of
right.
Where I came from. So where I'm at right now at my father's home, I have the same comfort. I have the same. I have, you know, I still have some of my stuff, and I still have this beautiful space with beautiful energy. And so it's, you know, it's, there are reasons for things to happen in your life, and you've got to trust the universe. And
yep.
And sometimes it doesn't feel great, and yet that's the stuff that really has to push us to the next.
Yep.
I don't want to say level. It's not about the next level. It's just
ascension.
Turn or the next twist. Yeah. So mm-hmm. When we stop talking about what was and how it should be, and did it, you know, start forcing things upon people. It's not about the other person. It's always about us. Everybody shows up in our experience to be the mirror, to be the reflection, to be something for us to look at that and say, I don't want that, you know, or
right.
I want that, or maybe I see this representation of this person that I do truly care, you know, these people, we care for them. Obviously, they wouldn't be in our lives, and we attracted them. So what is the gift? It always goes back to that. What is the
always.
Gift? And so when I can peel back the layers and I can look at this person who, in my human form, oh, did me so wrong, you know, woo.
Right.
And at the same time, when I can peel back the layers and I can communicate with this person and I can see this person as whole and complete, and know that that person is on their journey doing the best that they can with
right.
What they have and what they know and what they've experienced as people that we knew, we didn't know them before we met them, right? So
right.
They've had experiences. They've had things, especially when they're little.
Right.
Had experiences
all
that
day.
Have definitely put something on them and created this, whatever it is that's coming up for them.
Right.
I think when we can be, you know, just sympathetic, I don't know if that's the right word.
Compassionate.
Just be,
just
yeah,
compassionate
and,
yeah,
and loving and joy-filled and say, you know what, thank you for being in my space for so
yeah.
long and allowing me to experience the contrast.
Right.
And I've chosen that I don't want that in my life anymore. It's not about not wanting you as a person. It's not wanting the experiences
yeah,
anymore.
Don't
want to
live like this anymore.
Together.
Don't want to
yeah,
live like this anymore.
I'm done. It hurts. It absolutely
it's
hurts.
It's too painful. That's it.
Yeah.
And thank goodness I do have my spiritual counseling sessions with my shrink Vanessa, who I do phone sessions with, I need to talk to her because I got to ask her a question. And this is a question I'm going to ask her. In the span of, let's say, no more than 2 weeks, I've had two dreams. Unfortunately, one was last night. Two dreams involving that he and I got back together. And I woke up, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's weird. Now, he was a different version of himself. He was a version of himself that I, but it's interesting that you said, you know, be the person that I would be attracted to. He was close to that. It wasn't like I was doing anything against my will, but it was a different version of him. So that's mm-hmm. kind of interesting that you're saying that, and I have to ask her, what do these dreams mean? Does it mean that I have reconciled within myself?
It could be. It could also be that you want to see him in his wholeness. You want to see him.
Oh, that's helpful.
You want to see him as complete.
Right.
You want to see him as that extension of Source that is so beautiful and loving and bringing all that
right.
to the planet.
The best version of himself. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
the best version of him. You want
right.
because that's who you are.
Right.
Looking through the eyes of Source, you want to see the best version of every person that you come in contact
yes.
with.
That's helpful.
Just our nature. And then we're also human. So to be able to be in this perfect, you know, best version of everybody every day, it wouldn't serve us if you think about it. Look at how we wouldn't move forward. We wouldn't change things. We wouldn't shift. So kind of like, oh, my God, I just wish I could still see it. I wish I could just be still and be in this beautiful space and stay here. And then it's like, no, I got to leave on Wednesday and I got to head back to this and I got to do this. And you're like, God, I just wish I could stay, you know, I wish I could stay in bed all day. I wish I could, you know, be silly all day or go out and, you know, stand in front of the bonfire all day or whatever it is that you want to do. And it's like, we don't stay in this constant state of absolute love and joy. We do our best, and I don't know anybody, even people who claim I live primarily in love and joy. Oh, I get that. I know there's contrast in your life, though. Yeah. I know there's contrast.
But we're not in the bubble.
I know stuff comes up. I know. What's that?
I said we're not in the bubble. So it's just navigating.
We're not in the bubble.
Going back
you know,
to the gravitational
I mean,
pull of
you're
love.
You're going to be all full of love and light. You're going to get that garbage bag to take it out to the garbage, and the garbage is going to break or it's going to leak.
Right.
And you're
exactly.
going to get it. You're going to yeah. look at it and go, you know, and in all true fashion, you know, you can look at it and go, I'm sending this bag love and light, but you know what? It's not going to serve the purpose. It's not going to patch the hole. It's not going to pick up
no.
the garbage that fell on the
pick
ground.
Up the garbage
you still have to do it. There's stuff.
That's it.
You know,
yeah, we got to listen. This is a classroom
that.
That's down and dirty. So
yeah,
that's it.
We're
it's
here on this
dirty.
Planet. We're here on this planet to have, Elisa's favorite word, visceral experiences, to have experiences that move us, change us, shift us, expand us, and it's all for the growth of that energy that we call God, universe, source,
right.
all of that. And so the beauty of it now is that we are becoming more aware of our universalness, our godliness, our sourceness. I mean, actually, I will tell you this. I had a conversation. Jaden hasn't really chatted with me in a while, and he
right.
sat down last weekend just for like 2 minutes. I got it for 2 minutes. He
That's
and I
great.
Talked about God, the universe,
nice.
Greek mythology. I mean, we were cramming it all in, and he was talking to me, and so they, you know, they have no. Except for the conversations I know I have with them about God and Source and universe and the ones that when they were little, constantly
right.
talking to them about, you know, happiness and shifting your energy. And mm-hmm. so, and a lot of that stuff, maybe retained, maybe not. I don't know. And
oh, no, it's there because you did it at the most formative. Yeah, I rest assured. Okay.
Yeah.
Rest
so
assured
we,
because
you, know,
you left after yeah. the, after age three. So between birth
yeah.
and three, you're good. You made the investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of of, I feel like a lot of my energy helped shape them to who they are now.
And that's why they love you. They want to be with you. They miss you.
That the therapist and a lot of people say is that, you know, these are amazing kids. Your kids are so good. Well, 1 year doesn't shape them. You know, many years shape them. But anyway,
right.
What I want to say is that he and I got into this discussion, and it was a discussion of God is external from you and how he said it. And I said, are you aware that you are an extension of God? So we started talking about this.
That's
and this
great.
Is how it came in. So I got to talk to him for a couple minutes about it, and then he just looked at me and says, okay, I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation right now. Not that anything crazy
nope.
was happening.
It was just enough.
He talked about it, and then he said, I'm going to excuse myself. I was like, okay, thanks for talking to me. He's like, yeah, you too. And he walks away. And
that's
I thought
great.
To myself, yeah, because my biggest concern, first of all, I was raised in an organized religion.
Right,
that
right.
when I was coming out of that, I said if I could change anything, I would change my religion. But now I knew it had to be my foundation for who I am
right.
and how I'm being in the world, because it
right.
taught me some things about respect, about being polite, about community.
Yep.
It taught
yep.
me
right.
a lot about
forgiveness.
Those things that I don't,
right.
yeah, I don't mm-hmm. necessarily think of them as religious. I just think
no.
about
a
them
principle.
As about being a good, principles
right.
about being a good person on this planet.
Right.
Not saying that every child should have that. I think every child should be aware of what's available to them and
right.
that they can pick and choose. And one of my biggest things is I will tell you, having some sort of faith in something greater than myself, and
yeah.
I was raised
oh my God.
With that,
oof.
Is very important. And I feel like when kids don't have that type of thing, of knowing that there's something, there's a higher, greater something
there's a
out
universe.
There.
Universe, right.
Yeah, and so when I think kids are raised without that information, to me, it doesn't have to be religion. It can be definitely be very spiritual. It could be a conversation with them and continue the conversation with them. I think it creates something within them. It does spark that within them that they know.
Yeah, that it's not just a slice.
Who they are.
That they're buying into the illusion.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So true.
Like I said, I used to have these godly experiences or godly conversations with my kids, you know, sitting at a hamburger joint, you know, and
that's
we'd
great.
Sit around and eat our lunch and talk about God, the universe. And, you know, and I know there's a lot of stuff. And I know those kids have seen me shift. They've seen their mom shift. They've seen
right.
a lot going on. They don't talk to me so much about the in-depth stuff. They're just now, because I'm back into their life,
yeah, they
you
just
know,
want to be. They want to keep it simple right now, and
yeah.
that you're there
and Jaden,
waiting.
And
go ahead.
Jaden's 12, and he's doing that. You know,
teenage. Oh, listen, the fact that he even talked to you for 2 minutes, and 12.
Yeah.
I have to say, 12. Jeremiah is now 13. At 12 was such an 12 and 13, such an age where you're not going to get too much of that. And what was so great was last night. I was getting ready to go to bed, and my 13-year-old Jeremiah comes in. I said, honey, I'm so tired. I'm going to sleep. Like, don't ask me. I'm not making a sandwich. I'm not doing anything. I said, Jeremiah, I'm going to sleep. He goes, no, Mom. I want to spend some time with you. I said,
aww.
Oh. And we snuggled in the bed. I don't remember the last time we did that.
Yeah.
Him and his 6-foot-tall
yeah.
self.
I know. Wow.
And I'm like, yes.
Wow.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it was 5 minutes. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
That was 5 minutes
yeah.
of heaven.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
We're joking around, singing
well,
silly songs.
Yep.
I say that.
Making
okay.
That
just tells you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, we did this the last time last week we had gone to a therapy session. She actually brought the kids, which was great.
Oh, God.
They got
that's
to sit
great.
In the lobby. And then we went to lunch afterwards, and I'm sitting next to Jaden at this restaurant, and he just leaned over and put his head on my shoulder.
Thank you.
And
that's all you need. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm like, and then he told me, he said, when we leave here, I'm going to give you a proper hug. And I thought, okay, because when I first saw him, he was on, you know, he's on his tablet, and I just
oh,
I kissed
not,
him
yeah,
on the top of the head.
They're all over the place,
then,
yeah. The fact
yeah,
that he did that,
yeah.
that he had the consciousness and the
yeah,
and
oh,
the
very, I mean,
manners to say
yeah,
that.
He's very he's such a gentleman. He opens doors and he takes care of things.
You've
got to
get
a
baseball bat for the people that are going to be wanting baseball bat. Keep them it's so funny because and then we'll wrap up the show. So my older son Cole, who's almost 20, I can't keep track of like the carousel, the merry-go-round of like who he's dating or doing this or that or whatever. And I never say this to him, but in my mind it's like finding a stray. Like, don't give me a name. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want to get attached. Just whatever. Keep them away from me because I have a baseball bat. Get these girls away from me. Yeah. So when they're so sweet and so sensitive and so kind, that attracts a lot of excess. And I'm like, keep these girls away from me. Keep them away. No sooner do I learn a name and I meet somebody, there's three more that I have to meet because that one's crazy and you want moved on to the next. I said, I don't have time for that. So live your life, Playa.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he is my son. So on that note, he is, a quarter. No, he is half Colombian. All right. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And I'm so glad we had a show today. This particular show will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Anna, thank you for such a helpful conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you too.
Love
Loads
you.
Loads of love, lady. I love you.
I love you, too. Okay, bye.